Welcome to the Very Well Mind podcast. I'm Amy Morin, psychotherapist, international best-selling author, and mental strength trainer. Every week, I introduce you to a mentally strong person or mental strength building strategy that will help you think, feel, and do your best in life. Now let's dive into today's episode. My guest today is Mafio. We recorded this episode at the world-famous Criteria Recording Studios in Miami. He's a Grammy Award-winning music producer who works with famous artists like Akon and Nicky Jam, but his path to success wasn't easy. He had a rough childhood in the Dominican Republic. He lost several family members, including his sister, when he was young. He didn't have the opportunity to get a high school diploma either. And like many people in the music industry, he struggled with anxiety. But he created some positive changes in his life. Now, he's built his true dream, which was to have a happy family with his wife and two daughters. A few of the things that we talk about in this episode are how to overcome obstacles in life, even when it seems impossible, the mindset that can help you get through tough times, how to find true happiness, inner peace, and much, much more. Mafio is a really genuine human being. I think that you'll appreciate his wisdom just as much as I did. Make sure to stick around until the end for the therapist's take. This is where I'll give you my take on Mafio and how the mental strength strategies that worked for him can work for you also. So here is Mafio. He's mentally strong. This is his story. Ooh, you good to take our mask off?
Yeah, let's take the mask off. And my candy. Yuck.
Mafio, thank you so much for being on my show. I was telling my audio engineer before you came in, I'm kind of nervous. I don't know that much about music. And so I thought, I don't really know all the questions I'm going to ask because a music producer, I don't even really know what a music producer does. You've been in the room about 30 seconds and it took us about 14 seconds to find out that we actually have a lot in common.
Yeah.
And so I think this is going to be a great interview. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. And us producer in the music business, we're just regular people. You know, it just happened to be that we make music on top of that, but we're just regular.
Absolutely. And so I've researched you as much as I could to figure out exactly some of the things that you've overcome. I knew that you came from the Dominican Republic. Here you are, you the super successful guy. But I also know on Instagram, you talk a lot about happiness, inner peace, success, hard work, all the things that got you to where you are today.
Yeah.
And if you're willing, I would love to hear some of the obstacles that you had to overcome in life, because I think so many people use it as an excuse. I can't be successful because I went through these tough times or I had this happen to me, so therefore I just am not going to be good enough.
First of all, like I come from Dominican Republic, from a really, really poor neighborhood called Las Cañitas. And right when I was, you know, when I came on Earth, you know, I was born to either be dead, in jail, or still in the same place there where I was born, you know, not knowing if I was going to eat within the next 2 days, you know, brushing my teeth with soap because there was no money for toothpaste. And that same soap, we would use it to clean the dishes, you know, the shower, to do everything, the whole family. That's the first obstacle. Then through life, you start, you know, going through these more obstacles where you say, God, like, really, why? Like, why? Again? And that's when you start questioning God, you know, your beliefs in God. And I think, you know, those moments like that is like, you know, God is preparing you for something bigger than that, you know. And if you understand that and you trust the process then I'm here now, you know, I'm here now. So in Dominican Republic, it was really tough, super tough, especially in 2004 when I lost half of my family in less than 6 months. My sister passed away, burned. She was 23 and I was 18. Then 3 months after it was my stepfather, the person that raised me over there, my mom's husband, then my mom's sister, and then my cousin, my I call it cousin brother. Like, it's like your your go-to cousin, your mom's nephew. Mm-hmm. He got killed in a shooting over there in the Dominican Republic, and I didn't have no money. I didn't have nowhere to go. Like I was the only one left for my mother, and I needed to figure out what was I gonna do, if either I was gonna stay in the hood, if I was gonna start robbing people, or you know, I was gonna end up in jail or dead. Now, you know, you as a human, as a human being, you have to understand something. We have, I think, a sixth sense, which is knowing what's right and what's wrong. Like, I don't care how bad you are, I don't care how good you are, but I'm sure you know, if you grab a lighter, you put your hand there, and you light it up, you know it's gonna burn. So you know that you know, that notion of knowing that something is gonna burn. So in that moment, I chose not to do bad. I chose to do good. I know the process was gonna be slow as hell, like super slow and hard, and effectively it was. But you know, the moment that there was moments that I was gonna give up, that I was like, that's it. Either I'm gonna shoot myself or something. But then you know, that anger, you get in these moments of frustration, you fight with yourself. And those are the moments that define you and how hard can you be on yourself and get up from that and get out from that and be better. So after the Dominican Republic, I came to New York. I didn't graduate from high school, so I couldn't get a real decent job. So I started working on Wendy's. I started cleaning bathroom in 40 Central Park South over there in Manhattan, taking out garbage, you know, a lot, cleaning the floors and stuff like that. Before that, I was washing dishes at the Bond 45 in Times Square. That's where I met Brooke Shields. She was so beautiful. She was so beautiful. I met Robert De Niro there, and I was just a dishwasher. After I went to 40 Central Park South, you know, even though my dreams were in music, always 24/7, I dream, ate, thought, music, I still had to give a good face to those tenants that were coming into that building, to their temple, to their home. I can't be bitter, you know, because my life is going, you know, to excuse my language. I can't be bitter. I got to give them happiness. When they come, I got to be, you know, even though I'm tired as hell. Hello, Mrs. Hammerdinger. How you doing? Do you need help with anything? You know, I needed to do that. I needed to do that because it's not their fault that I'm going through stuff. So, but at the end of the year, yeah, I used to get the most tips. Because I was, you know, I was like, if I was going to be a dishwasher, I was going to be the best at it. If I was going to clean bathrooms, I was going to be the best at it. I'm going to tie those bags and everything the best and the quickest. So that ended. Like I lasted there like 4 years, 3 years, something like that. Then I was working at a parts place, a part authority. And, you know, and that was my last job. But at the same time, I was still doing music, trying to get, you know, trying to use Facebook as, you know, as my free platform to promote my music. And I was doing all of that. When I first got my first check, and it was like $4,000, my first ASCAP check, I was like, that's it. I'm not working anymore. And that's it. I never worked again. I never even, then I came to Miami. It was very tough because I came in and I didn't have a home. I didn't have money. I was still living off the $4,000, you know. And I was sleeping in the studios, you know. People would say, the artist, you know, damn, this kid is a beast. He never leaves the studio. You know, so they would think that I'm constantly, even though I was constantly, I put in a lot of work, 2012, 2013. And they were like, this guy is a beast. And it's because I didn't have a home.
Wow.
So, but then, you know, what do I do? Okay, I just came from Las Cañitas, Dominican Republic, where you're not, like, your chances to come out the hood are none, like, none, none. All my friends, I still go. All my friends are still there. Some of them are dead. Some of them are in jail. And some of them are just still there, content. You know, I couldn't be content. I could never be content.
All right, let's unpack your story, because that's a lot. When you, I guess, what's the difference? What made you get out and do something? What do you think the difference is between you and somebody who is content there, or somebody who ends up in jail, or somebody who ended up dead?
I needed to be successful. I don't know how to explain this. It's just I needed to. Music needed. I was dreaming. Music is gonna get me this. Music is gonna watch. One day I'm gonna make music and I'm gonna live off of music. I started pursuing that. I didn't know nothing about music business. I don't know how to. I didn't know anything. But I knew it in my heart. I had that little feeling that, that's it. Go with it. Once you run with it, that's it. And I always say that I'm not, how do you say it in English? In Spanish, it's mente débil. Weak-minded. Mm-hmm. I'm never weak-minded. Never. Like, if I go through something, I'm just going to get right back up. All right. You know, dust myself and get up. I cannot come into this hole of being a victim.
What do you think made you that way? Were you born that way?
I think I was born that way because my dad is not like that. My mom is not. My mom, she's a go-getter, but my mom is a little victim. My mom plays the victim a lot.
And seeing them then, if you grew up in an environment where you saw people like that, did that drive you to be the opposite?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, something that when I was in the Dominican Republic, my parents would beat the crap out of me. They would beat the living crap out of me with anything. With anything they found, cords, you know, chancletas, anything, an umbrella, you name it. But when I had my first daughter, Marley, I put in my mind that I was not going to be that. I put in my mind that I was never going to, you know, lay a finger on her. I was never going to talk loud to her like, hey, what? No. And my daughter, like, I have to, if she does something wrong, I have to sit her down like an adult and be like, Marley, you know what you did, right? Like, tell me, why are we having this conversation? Because I did this. So, you know, we go back to the knowing what's right and what's wrong. And it's a little kid, 6 years old. So I tell Marley, I'm like, Marley, do you know what? We're going to have a conversation. Yes. Why? Because I did this, and that. Okay. So, you know what's going to happen next? If you ever do it again, you know, we're going to have consequences. And those consequences, you know what they are, right? You know, like, there's not going to be no phone. There's not going to be no iPad. There's not going to be no TV. And we're going to start doing more chores. We're going to add more chores to your list. You know what that means? Yes, I'm sorry. And that's when she'll apologize. But I spoke to her. I educated her. And I gave her a hug and a kiss after we had the conversation.
How do you know what to do? So many of us do what we were taught as kids, and we just sort of repeat this cycle. How did you know to do something different, and then how'd you break out of that?
I think I knowing what's going back, knowing what's right and what's wrong. It's like, if I did this, like if I was playing outside with a barefoot, and my mom telling me not to go barefoot or whatever. You know, this is me 20 years after, like, you know, 20 years after. This is me, you know, thinking like, why would she beat the crap out of me? I started getting those questions like, you know, I think that's wrong, you know?
Why do you think they did? Did they not know any better?
They didn't know any better. It's a part of the culture.
Okay.
Part of the culture, how my mom was raised and how my dad was raised. they beat the crap out of them. So they don't know better. So I kind of broke the cycle.
Yeah.
And I told my mom, dad, I told mommy, you know, you see all these things that happened between us, you know, this is not going to happen with Marley.
What was her reaction to that?
At first, she was she was on denial. Is that you were very and I had to. I'm like, mommy, there is no justification to beating the crap out of her kid. You just don't do that. Period. But then, like years after, I confronted her and had the conversation with her. She was like, "I'm so sorry." She like, "I'm sorry. I see how you are with Marley, and I see how she is with you, how much she loves you and respects you, and you don't even raise your voice at her. I'm sorry." I'm like, "All right, we good."
What was that like to hear?
It was relieving. It was very relieving because my mom is very hard-headed, and I want to have a relationship with my mother. I love my mother. It's my mother. I love my father. I want to have a relationship with them. But, you know, there can't be that elephant in the room where I'm always going to feel like, damn, she hasn't even acknowledged that she did this. Man, he doesn't even acknowledge it. Then I want you to acknowledge it. That's it. We acknowledge it. We move from it. That's it. Done. Past. And we move forward.
I think that's great. Yeah. So many people can't do that. You don't want to bring up the past. You don't want to hurt your parents' feelings. You don't want to offend them. But when it's the elephant in the room, you need to bring it up.
I think so. I think it's therapeutic because, you know, when you have a conversation, you get a relief. Like once you have that conversation, even if it's tough, it doesn't matter how tough the conversation, have it respectfully. Have it respectfully, you know, nice, calm, civilized, and think logic, you know, logic, common sense. You know, let's not go on, hey, I'm sorry, but no, say I'm sorry. That's it. Okay, I'm sorry. That's it. For this, for that, and that's it. Okay, erased.
What about for people that are scared of holding those tough conversations? What would your advice say for somebody who says, I can't, or somebody might get mad at me, or I don't know what to say, or it won't go well?
They have it in them. I'm a true believer of God, and I think God gave us all that will. You have to find that will. Once you find that will and not assume, one of my number one rules is number one rule, not assume. If you want to know about something, don't create your story in your head. And then when you come to see the person and you talk about it, it was not that. Never assume. I think have the conversation, confront it, talk it out. But everybody has that will if they want to.
Yes. And I agree. I think we could all benefit from having more of those tough conversations, but so many people talk themselves out of it because they assume it won't go well.
Yeah.
Or they assume they can't handle it if it doesn't go well.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you, you know, I used to assume a lot. I used to get a lot of it. I used to get a lot of anxiety. And I still get anxious a little bit. You know, watering my pants and stuff has helped me, my daughters and stuff. So I used to assume a lot. Like I would text one of my colleagues or an artist, boom, 10 minutes pass, and then 15 minutes pass, and then I'm like, well, what did I do wrong? Then I start thinking, what happened? I start assuming, creating this whole bad trip in my mind, this whole bad movie in my mind. And then the artist, 2 hours later, he kills me. Oh, my bad, Mafia. I so-and-so in this, and I forgot to hit you back. You know how bad I felt? Like,
right.
Every time that happened? So, you know, I started, you know, creating this mechanism of this system of not doing those things. I have to acknowledge those things that I'm doing wrong for the best of myself, which is not assume, you know? If I get anxious, if I assume, okay, I don't want to get anxious. Wait, hold on. Let me not assume. Let me attack the problem from the root of the problem. And I started doing that little by little.
And that's something we do in therapy a lot. People will come up with stories, right? If somebody doesn't text me back, we think, oh, it's about me. They're mad at me. They're ignoring me. They don't like me. Come up with 101 stories, right?
Yeah.
And when the truth is, maybe they were just busy. What do you do when your mind goes there, when you start to think, oh, it's because of X, Y, and Z, and you fill in the blank, and you start to make assumptions? How do you talk yourself out of it?
At the moment, you don't talk yourself out. You start getting mad at the world.
Yep.
And starting fires everywhere. Once you have all those fires started, you know, there's no going back. It didn't happen to me like, you know, all of a sudden, that's it. No, it was gradually. It was catching myself when I was doing it. Oh, man, I'm assuming. Stop assuming. Catch yourself. Every time, catch yourself. You're not that dumb to not catch yourself.
Right. So if people just became more aware of it.
Yeah.
I'm doing it. And then
yeah. So once you become aware and you catch yourself, that's it. You start conquering and be persistent catching yourself.
Right.
Because if you fall out, if you do it for a whole week or 2 weeks and then you fall out, that's it. You got to train your body. You got to train your mind. Your mind your brain is a muscle that needs to be trained as well. Train them.
Absolutely. And that's what I talk a lot about when it comes to mental strength. It's a muscle. You can build it. And it's all about the choices that you make.
Yep.
Do you still struggle with anxiety?
Not anymore. Sometimes. Like right now, probably before I used to have it at least 3-4 times a week. Now I probably get those moments probably like once a month. Sometimes me as a creative person, I get these days that I feel like crap. You know, I feel like crap, but, you know, I've asked around and, you know, my friends that work in the music that they have those days too. But then after that day passes, but it's that one day that you feel negative, that you feel just, you don't want to do anything. You don't want to talk with anybody. After that day passed, the next day, oh my, it's like... Whoa, you know? So, you know, I get those days like every once in 6 months.
Okay. And I think that's very true. And sometimes people waste a lot of energy fighting that thing. Oh, that shouldn't happen. Or if I have those days and it means there's something wrong with me. Sometimes you can just accept it. That's part of life. You have days that are up, days that are down, and that's okay. And when you're down, it won't last forever. And that it makes you enjoy the good days even more.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it when I open that window in my room, like, oh my God, the sun. I love nature. Like, I love nature. Nature plays a big part on how my day is going to be. I like to be out, you know. I love to be out in my backyard watering my plants. You know, I like to, you know, listening to the song I did last night in the studio in my backyard with the sun beaming, like hitting me hard. You know, after there, I shower, I put my shorts. There you go. I put my shorts on and wow, beautiful.
Do you think, are you able to just appreciate some of the little things in life?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Like the most beautiful things in life, the most beautiful things that are really fulfilling and make you complete, they're free. They're free. People have this thing in their mind that happiness, you could find it on things, on superficial things. They're free. You're right there. You just go get them. Just right there.
And you're somebody who can say you've had nothing in life.
Yeah.
And then you've come to this place in your life where you obviously have a lot more than you did before. But even with all of that, you can still say best things in life don't cost any money.
Yep. That is so true. That is so true. Because I was happy over there in the Dominican Republic with no TV. We were happy and we were just fine.
Right.
But I was a firecracker that needed more. That needed to, you know, change the life a little bit.
And what does music give you that you didn't have if you weren't doing music?
Well, if I weren't doing music, I mean, I think music gave me a career. It's like a job. It's like a 9-to-5 job. I always say that in this business, if you want to be successful in this business, you got to treat this business like a business.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that. Is another job. You know, it gave me my wealth. Like, I'm amazing. I think, you know, my kids are not gonna go through what I went through.
Right.
Then they're never will.
Yeah, I've seen on Instagram. There's a picture of you and Marley washing your car together.
Oh yeah, we do those things. We do just to make sure that, you know, she has a bunch of shoes, but every time her shoes are dirty, she has to clean them. Mind you, I could buy more shoes.
Right.
Or we could give them away. No, you have to clean your shoes.
Because you don't want her to feel like she's entitled or that
entitled,
she...
Entitled? I need to... No, you got to clean your shoes. You got to do things. You got chores. She got chores. Every day she got chores. She got a chore that is twice a week. It's poop patrol. Poop patrol. She got to pick up the poop from our dog. She's 6 years old and we started when she was 4. Poop patrol, you know, she got to do the dishes at the house. Once she's done in the morning with everything she's done and she eats everything and do her chores, then she could go watch TV for 1 hour. Then in the afternoon, like around 4, we go outside so she could enjoy, you know, playing out. And yeah, you know, that's, I think I'm a good parent. And my wife, she's a good parent too. I mean... She's white, but she doesn't know. Like, she knows I took her one time and she was like, but since she hasn't been through what I went through, I'm more persistent with the things that she needs to do. You know, if it comes for my wife, she'll, you know, she wouldn't, all right, you know. But, you know, I always come through and I was like, babe, we got to come through. We got to come through. Yeah, but no, we got to come through.
And do you think because of how you grew up, it just makes that stuff extra important to you about how you raise your daughters?
Yes. Because I know I know how it feels not to have anything.
Yeah.
I know how it feels. I know exactly the feeling. So, you know, I don't want my daughter to feel like she doesn't have anything, but you have to earn things.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which is a real life lesson, right? You talk a lot about hard work and mm-hmm. people want to know what's the secret to success. And you've made it abundantly clear. It's not, there's not a secret. It's not good luck. It's hard work,
yeah.
Right?
Super hard work. Yeah.
You talk a little bit too about you had a problem with alcohol for a while and you decided to quit drinking.
Well, I was not an alcoholic. I was just drinking too much in the week. I was drinking four times, like Nick knows. In the studio, they would always bring a bottle. Hey, let's drink. So I was drinking like 4 times a week. And once you drink, with how you feeling, it's just, alcohol is a depressor. When you wake up the next day, it's like you feel horrible. And once you're, you know, it feels good when you're drinking in the studio, you're making hit records. But once you go back, and have that feeling. I didn't like that feeling anymore. And it was getting me into trouble.
And did you find that it gave you something in the moment that it made you feel better for a minute? And
yeah,
made
for
you feel
a minute.
Worse in the long run?
Yeah, obviously. You know, once you start drinking, you feel good. Yeah, you feel saucy, you know?
Right. And then what made you decide to quit?
I was getting into trouble with my wife.
Okay.
You know? I was getting into a lot of trouble with her. And I was like, you know what? Did family? No. And here we go back with right and wrong. What do you want to do? You want to do bad? You want to go ahead and drink all night and keep having problems with your wife and this and that? Or you want to be happy wife, happy life type guy? I chose happy wife, happy life.
So going back to your values, knowing what's really important in life.
Yeah, family.
Right.
100 million percent.
Well, then how do you stay in the music industry without alcohol and without the party lifestyle?
The will.
Yeah?
The will. That will, that same will that I had when I had nothing and came out of the hood, that same will I have. How to stay away from it. The will. No, and friends of mine, Mafia, hey, let's get a drink. I'm like, no. No, come on, bro. You were the one that you always did. I'm like, no.
And you don't drink at all anymore?
At all, zero. Zero, no, no beer, no wine, nothing. Nothing. I don't need it. I'm happy.
And how has that changed life to say I don't drink a drop ever?
It feels good. It's actually like, I don't drink, you drink. Look, I can have fun. You see me? You know, it's like that feeling. Because, you know, at first it was hard because, you know, when I go to places, like everybody was drinking and I felt like out of place. But once you start finding those little things, those free things that make you happy and oh, boom, and putting them all together and, you know, that's when it becomes really beautiful.
How do you find what makes you happy? Because I think so many people struggle with that, with not knowing. They think, oh, this is supposed to make me happy or I'm supposed to feel better. And then they don't ever figure it out.
Explore what is it that really makes you happy. Just explore. Just go on and explore. What is it that make you happy? You know, just start thinking. All right. I like computers. Oh, okay. Let me know about computer. Let me go on Google. You got the biggest school in the world and it's for free.
Right.
Go on Google. Check. Computers, how do they work? Boom, after that, after you got, if you're, because there's something that makes you happy that you like. All right, how do I do this? How do you start asking Google questions? All right. Wow. Now what next? I got all that. Should I build a computer? Should I do it? Here comes that will to see if that will is going to kick in. Should I do it? Yeah, of course you could do it.
Most people seem to get bored. I find a lot of people get stuck in a rut and they don't do much in life. And I think they lose sight of how do you explore? How do you figure out what you're excited about? What makes you happy?
Yeah. You just start thinking. Some people like smoking weed, you know. You know, that makes them happy, but, you know, okay. That's like something. It's the human being has to be doing something. Has to be doing something. Mm-hmm. That's something. Why don't you turn it into something? Damn, holy bars. I got to write that. Hold on. I'm sorry. I need to write that.
Take your time. Write that down before you forget it.
Sorry. And
so what makes you happy now? You talk about watering plants. What else makes you happy in
life?
Well,
obviously, my two daughters, they make me so happy. I think kids, in a human being, if you were born to, you know, to be in this earth, you have to, like, share your... You know, what is it? What is life about? You know, teach them what life, that's the beauty, beautiful thing. The other things, plants. I love plants. I love the water. I love to fish. I love nature. I like to watch documentaries that I'm going to learn from and learn cultures. One of the biggest problems in our countries, third world countries, is that the ignorance is very, very, very high. But it's because they don't know no better, no outside, what goes on in the outside. And they, you know, they're very ignorant. Mm-hmm. Ignorant is not a word of like a bad word. It's just ignorant is, you know, you haven't been out your culture to know that there are other things that exist that you don't know they exist.
Right.
So, you know... I like to always watch a lot of documentaries. I watch a lot of World War documentaries, the Holocaust, stuff that I'm going to learn from. Why are things happening? The root of certain problems.
And did you ever graduate from high school?
I didn't.
So without a high school diploma, and here you are doing some of the most incredible things in the world.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, you get to work with some of the coolest artists and produce music that millions and millions of people listen to.
Yeah.
And what's that like?
I think like every artist is a different personality. And I think I'm very good at adjusting to those personalities. And it's really fun. It's fun to understand how an artist works when you work with them, how they think, and you learn from that. You know, it's just being, going into that room and being open-minded and like, and learn from that person, even though he's in his own world. But then that person is, if you're smart, he's going to learn from you.
Who are some of your favorite artists to work with?
Some of my favorite artists, I'll say Akon. I've learned a lot from Akon. Farruko. Farruko is, you know, he's more of a rebel like me. I'm a rebel because when it comes to music, I'm a rebel. Like, you know, they do things like that, and, you know, I do it like this. Trust me, it'll sound hot. Farruko, Giancarlo Canela. I have an amazing chemistry with Giancarlo Canela in the music. Who else? I mean, all of them. All of them, they have that little special thing that I have with them. You know, it's just that little special thing.
And what about your accomplishments? What things are you most proud of that you've accomplished?
My two daughters.
Out of all of it that you can easily say, good for you.
Yeah.
And what about professionally? What are some of
professionally,
your...
Professionally, my Grammys.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But then the Grammys, you know, like, they don't give you a bonus check, you know? Come on,
right.
Grammys. You got to get, you know, let's get that bonus check going, you know, for the artists. My ASCAP Awards. My ASCAP Awards, I love my ASCAP Awards because, you know, they award you for the excellence of how you did the record. I got 23 of those.
Just 23?
counting.
Do you ever feel like you don't belong or you feel like, my gosh, here I am. Here I'm this guy. I don't have a high school diploma. I came from the Dominican Republic and here I am with all of these people. Ever feel like, how did I get here? I don't belong here.
Oh, I know exactly how I got here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was not like a... It was not luck, you know? I think luck is when opportunity meets chance.
Yeah.
And hard work. I know how I got here. I know it was going to be a process. I knew it. It still is a process. Because there's a lot to, you know, be made. There's a lot of goals to be obtained. But I know exactly, and it feels good that I know exactly where, you know, where I'm at. And I know how I got there.
It's something I'm always interested in when I speak to people who come from one end of the spectrum and they end up on the other end of the spectrum is, how do you not forget where you came from, but at the same time know that you're not the same kid that grew up in the Dominican Republic? You're the same human, but you're not the same person anymore. How do you balance that?
Yeah. Is being connected to reality. Because sometimes once we become successful, we get a lot of money. We could buy anything we want. We could go anywhere we want. You could easily lose yourself in this little bubble. And hanging around with the elite people, the highs, the billionaires, the millionaires, you know, you lose touch. You lose touch of reality, what reality is. And that's something that I stay connected to. I stay connected to my roots. Once I get off from my roots, that's it. I'm done.
How do you stay connected to your roots?
Talking to the people from the roots.
Yeah.
And understanding the problems that are going on. Now you're seeing those problems from another point of view. Before, you were in the problem. Now you're looking at the problem right there from the point of view, and you know what to do. So for example, yesterday I was speaking with two of my guys, my friends, my infant friends, like since I was over there in the Dominican Republic. One, he went to rehab over there, and he just got back from rehab. He was there for 6 months, and he went back to the hood. Guess what's gonna happen? He's going to go right back because he has all, you know, he knows where the drugs at. He knows everything. Where is that? So I'm like, listen, let's do something, you know. I'm going to give your mom and Julio, my other friend, some money. So like that you could get your life together and you go back to that, you know, where the rehab around there, you know, is a touristic place where, you know, you go back there, but you got to get out the hood. So I send him his little, you know, a couple $100 and it's a lot of money over there.
Right.
So you have to make me this promise. I'm not going to give you the money, but I'm going to have Julio. Julio's going to ask you, where is it for? And you're going to have to explain to Julio what are you doing with the money.
Okay. So now you know, okay, I can use my success in a way to help people now that I'm outside of that.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel guilty that you made it out and some of your loved ones didn't?
Not at all. Not at all. Because this, you know, I worked really hard for it. While all the kids was robbing other kids, you know, I was like, you know, I was putting in work. So I'm not, you know, whatever you planted is whatever you're going to get. So if you planted, you know, staying at home, not getting a job or robbing people, then what your expectations, you know, shouldn't be less than what you are right now.
And then, so you're somebody that puts in a lot of hard work, but then life still wasn't always kind to you. You went through all these losses in life. And how did you get through the tough times knowing that no matter how hard you work, you're still not entitled to happiness, success, and a great life, that bad things will still happen to you?
There's this fear that I always carry after what I went through, you know, with the passing of my family members. I have always this fear. This I have that I'm going to carry always, which is I'm always scared that God is going to put another obstacle. I'm always scared, but you know what? I'm scared, but I'm going to be right. I'm going to be mad at you because you put me right here. I'm going to be mad at you, but don't worry. Bring it on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you carry on a little bit of anxiety, but then at the same time, know if you go through tough times, you've got this.
Yeah.
You can get through it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And is it that attitude that helps you get through life and to get you to where you are right now to know, okay, bring it on. I might be mad at God, but I can get through it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's the attitude. It's how you see life, how you, you know, whatever you portray to the universe, that's what you're going to be.
And
if you're a negative person, guess what's going to happen? You're going to have negative stuff. If you're a positive person, optimistic, go-getter, you're going to have everything that you planted.
Funny how that works, right? When people walk around expecting to see bad things, that's all they see because their head is down and they just see the bad in the world. But if you decide, I'm going to be somebody who sees the positive, you can make it happen.
Exactly.
I truly believe that. What about deciding what's next for you? Again, I have very little knowledge of the music industry, but from what I know, obviously it's this creative endeavor, it's artistic. You don't really know what's going to happen next, especially coronavirus and everything going on in the world makes things extra weird. How do you decide what projects to pursue and what to do next and where do you go from here? It's not like you wake up and have a regular 9-to-5 job, even though you call it a job. It's not like somebody's telling you what to do. It's up to you to decide. How do you make those decisions?
Sometimes people think that music is this mystic thing. There's a formula, like a secret formula that these elite group of people know. You know, it's not. It's just live. If you know how to do it, do it.
Uh-huh.
Like, don't expect anything. Don't go hard on yourself. Go have fun. Go have fun in the studio. Nick has been in my sessions. My sessions are super fun. My sessions are the bomb. So I go have fun. If I don't have fun in the studio, we have nothing going on. I need to have fun. And if I'm not having fun, I need to figure out how to have fun.
And I wonder how many people can't do that. They can't make their work fun and they don't find joy in it.
You got to shake them. Shake them. Yo, life is good. You know, like yesterday, I was in the studio and we created this monster hit with Jotuel from Orishas. And what was I going to say? I don't like to go in the studio and when I leave the studio, I feel defeated. Like not a hit record came out. I don't like that feeling. So I got to make sure we either knock out three songs in one night, but one has to hit. I cannot leave the studio defeated.
And so what happens when you make music, though, and it doesn't turn out to be a hit? How do you handle those?
It happens.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm not really worried about it because, you know, probably it all depends how you look at hit record. Because there's some hit records that they never got played on radio.
Okay.
They were the hit record in the streets. There's some hit records that you never heard before in the streets or at a club, but you hear it on the radio. Then there's hits that you make that they probably had, compared to your numbers, one of my videos has 130 million views. And then there's another video that has 20 million views. But guess what? I found a person that was like, Mafia, your song changed my life.
Yeah.
Your song, like, I lost my father or my mother, and this song just gave me happiness. That's a hit.
So then what's...
That's a hit.
What's your definition of success?
Success? Spiritual tranquility.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's if once you conquered your spiritual tranquility, I think you're conquered. You conquered the world already. Because you need to be at peace right here in order to forgive love, in order to receive love.
And what percentage of the population do you think experiences inner peace?
I'm going to assume. I don't like to assume.
Right, but...
But regarding on the people that I've come across to, like how many hundreds and thousands of people that I came across, probably of the population in the world, I like 20%.
20%. And what do you think makes those 20% people different?
The will.
So you think if anybody says, I want inner peace, they can make it happen?
Yeah, of course.
And the other 80%. I know plenty of people, though, that say, I want to have inner peace, but they don't experience it.
You want something. You want to drink water. Wait, you want to drink water or you want to drink water? Are you going to drink water? No, I want to drink water.
So how do you get there for people that say, I want inner peace, but they don't have it? What's your advice to them?
The thirst, the will. The will is the thirst. If you want the inner peace that you have in your mind, that you want, is that water. The will is the thirst.
For people, though, that say, I know I want this. I think I want it. What do they do? Are they just thinking, I want my life to be better, but I don't know how to get there. I just want to feel better, but I don't know what to do.
Make a plan. Make a plan. What do you want to fix with in your life? Make a chart. Start with small things first. You know? And start, you know, working your list. Start, make that list. You want to make your life better? How bad do you want? If you want to make your life better as much as you want to breathe, then you're in a good path.
Do you think a lot of people then just say they want to make their life better?
Yeah, they just say it. They just say, I want to be better. I want to do this. Bro, do it.
And what do you think gets in the way?
I don't know what it is, but the will is in their way. They don't have that, you know, they want something, but they don't have the will. They'd be like, they got to go get it. Stop being scared. Go get it. Who cares if you fail? At least you didn't try. If you didn't try, you're not going to know.
I completely agree. So as a therapist, I have plenty of people that come into my office and they say, I want to make my life better. Great. What are we going to do about that? 9 times out of 10, they're like, oh, I just want you to make me feel better. But they don't want to do anything different. I don't have any magic wands. I don't have anything that will automatically make somebody feel better. But people want the shortcut.
Yeah. No, there's no shortcut. That's why I chose not to go for my things. I'm sorry. I think this is not good business for you, but I chose me personally. This is a personal. I chose not to go to a therapy. I thought that, you know, that I had a will, that I could do it on my own. I'm gonna push myself. It's gonna be hard. It's gonna be so hard. But I gotta push myself. I just need to do it on my own.
And I don't mind when people say, I don't need therapy. I think all the more power to you. I think therapy helps a small window of people, but it doesn't help everyone. Mm-hmm. Plenty of other people say, you know, I found all this stuff in life and I started exploring and I started doing things. Sometimes we just don't want you to talk more. People come into therapy because they want to talk about their problems. Sometimes you're better off just going out there and saying, I'm going to solve my problems.
Exactly.
But when you get stuck, that's when we say, then maybe you should try therapy. And I'm happy to see people who have been out there and they're trying stuff, or they need a little boost in their courage so they can get out there and do stuff. I feel like so many people are afraid.
Yeah. People need to stop creating problems over problems.
Ooh, tell me about that.
Yeah. Some people just like, you know, they have a problem, right? You have a situation. Man, but I can't do it because this problem. But then you're creating problems after problems. You're never going to go right here. Why don't you solve the problem here? Try to forget about all this staticness all around. Just focus on that. What's causing that problem? Okay, what's causing that problem? Is it this? All right, okay, found it. Yeah, that's what's causing that problem. Okay, now fix it. You know, but some people, they just get involved in more problems. There's solutions. It's just solution. There's nothing in this world that God is going to put you that you can't bear.
Have you always had a faith in God that's gotten you through stuff?
Yeah. When I lost my sister, I got lost. I was so mad, like... Then conspiracy theories. I said, to the point that I'm like, what am I doing? What? No.
How did you go through all of those losses and grieve and come out on the other side and not be a bitter person? I see so many people that go through tough times and they just become angry and bitter and say, you know, sort of like challenge God. What are you going to do to me next? And what's going to happen?
How do I got out of that? By thinking and not to be that.
So you just made the conscious decision.
Yeah, conscious decision. I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to be depressed for all my life. I can't. I cannot. You know, it sounds kind of terrible because you have to grieve, but you got to snap out of it because life goes on. They're in another world, probably better than us.
Right. I encounter so many people, and I know I've done it in my own life too, though, where you almost feel guilty about still then being happy again, or about you feel like, oh, if I really love this person, I'd be sad for this long, or I have to stay sad to show or to make it clear to everybody that I'm grieving. But at some point, you have to make that decision that it's okay to be a happy person and to move forward.
Yeah. It happens to me every day. That, you know, a lot of people see me happy. I post my happiness all the time on my social media. And there's this one person. Huh? Another picture with his family. Come on. I'm like, dude, is that what you're hating about? So those people are the bitter. And, you know, those are the people that really need help, that they need help within themselves. They got to help themselves in order to keep moving forward in life and be better human beings. But then it goes back to the root.
Yes. And I think for all of us, if we just made that our goal, how do I become a better human being? The world would be safe.
That's my goal too. That's one of my major goals. You know, one of my major goals, I cannot disrespect anybody. I never disrespect anybody. You know, I have honor. I have a lot of integrity, values within me that I don't break them for nothing. I don't care how negative you are, but you're not gonna make me come out, you know. Sorry, I did that 20 years ago in DR. All right, so
then how do you become an even better human being? Do you set goals for yourself? Do you just decide every day is a different day and you're going to keep working on yourself?
Yeah, you just keep working on yourself, and it's just the little small things, a please, a thank you, excuse me, you know, hey, is it possible, you know, that kind of energy. Once you put the energy out, hey, you know, wow, he's so polite. And that person is like, wow, so many nice people in this world. Let me try to be a better person, you know?
I love it. So if I were to say, okay, here are some of our key takeaways, the things that I think my audience will learn from you about how to become mentally stronger, I would sum it up like this: to explore what you want to do in life and to just keep exploring the things that bring you happiness and do more of those things. Mm-hmm. To be a positive person, but to make that choice that I'm going to look for the good in the world, mm-hmm. to know what your values are and to make sure that you live according to those values and hold yourself accountable when you're not.
Yeah.
Like when you said, I quit drinking, it was because it wasn't in line with the kind of husband or dad that you wanted to be. So you made the change, and to enjoy the simple things in life and say, if I enjoy watering my plants, then that's what I'm going to do is water my plants. And to know that even though you have all this stuff in life, you didn't forget where you came from and that you can still make sure that you're giving back, but that you educate yourself. And even though you might think, gosh, here I am, this guy who came from a pretty humble roots and I don't have a high school diploma, that's okay. I can still choose to live this awesome life, and here's what I'm going to do, and no excuses.
Yeah. Choices. You got to make the right choices in life. And life is the blue and the red pill. Just got to make the right choices, the right good choices.
What do you mean by the blue and the red pill?
The bad choices and the good choices.
Mm.
You should know what's bad. You should know what's wrong. You know, like, for example, if this person, all right, let's say I'm selling a bottle of water, right? I'm selling a bottle of water for a reasonable price. You know, I got it for so much. I'm going to sell it a little bit higher. You know, you sell that bottle of water to this other person. This other person is in a different situation where he's in a group of people that they need the water. So this person is going to put the prices up high. That person should know that that's right, if it's right or if it's wrong. And that person needs, before he sells that water, he should be like, damn, you know, I got to take the blue pill or the red pill.
Right. I love that.
You know, like it's a matter of like, it's logic.
Right.
I think it's logic.
Well, thank you so much for being on my show. I think you've shared so much wisdom about mental strength and how to be a stronger person. And obviously, you exemplify it in every area of your life within 30 seconds of meeting you, as I was nervous thinking, oh, music producer, I know nothing about music. Clearly, you know plenty about mental strength. So thank you for being here.
No, thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. I have fun.
Good.
Boom.
Welcome to The Therapist Take. This is the part of the episode where I'll break down how to use three of Mafio's mental strength strategies in your own life. Number one, take care of plants. Mafio talks about how watering his plants helps him enjoy inner peace. I'm not surprised, because horticulture therapy is a real thing. There's tons of scientific research behind gardening. So whether you want to grow vegetables or flowers, taking care of plants can help you build mental strength. If you have a space to grow a garden, do it. You could start a container garden on the patio, or maybe even an indoor herb garden. It's simple, easy, and effective. Number two, know your values. One of the biggest issues I see as a therapist is when people struggle with behavior that isn't in line with their values. When what we're doing isn't in line with the person we want to be, we experience a lot of anxiety. In the music industry, anxiety and substance use are pretty common. In fact, a survey by Billboard found that 70% of musicians have anxiety or depression. And it's no secret that many people self-medicate with drugs or alcohol. One of the things that Mafio said was that when it came to his drinking, he simply asked himself, is what I'm doing in line with the kind of husband and dad that I want to be? Since the answer was no, he changed his behavior. Consider what's important in your own life and ask yourself, are my habits helping me achieve my goals? If not, maybe you want to change your behavior. Changing the habits that aren't in line with your values can help you to feel free. So it's no wonder that Mafio says that he experiences inner peace these days. Number three, hold tough conversations. Mafio was right on when he said he talked about the importance of addressing the elephant in the room. He shared how he talked to his mom about the way that he was raised and how he disagreed with some of her parenting strategies. If you want a healthier, closer relationship with someone, you have to have those tough conversations. Ignoring problems or pretending that your feelings weren't hurt won't do you or the other person any good. A course, it takes strength and courage to have those conversations, but it's also the key to forming a better relationship with someone. And forming a better relationship is a two-way street. It takes strength to do it, but once you do, you'll have more supportive people who can help you grow stronger. So those are three key takeaways from Mafio. Start a garden, know your values, and hold tough conversations. Thank you for spending time with me today to learn more about mental strength. And as always, a big thank you to my producer, Nick Valentine. Make sure to tune in to the next episode on Wednesday. I'm going to talk to entrepreneur and author James Altucher. You might have heard his name lately because he's the person that wrote the viral article called New York City is Dead. And it attracted a lot of attention and a strong reaction from a lot of people, including Jerry Seinfeld. On Wednesday, James is going to share some really great strategies for staying mentally strong. Do you want a free copy of my online course, 10 Mental Strength Exercises that will help you reach your greatest potential? If so, just review my show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you tuned in. Then send me a screenshot of your review on social media and I'll give you free access. You can find me on Twitter at Amy Morin LCSW or on Instagram or Facebook at Amy Morin Author. Thank you for hanging out with me today and listening to the Very Well Mind podcast. And if you know someone who could benefit from hearing it, share the link with them. You have the power to help someone else grow stronger and become better just by sharing this information with them. Do you want to learn more strategies for building mental strength? Check out my international best-selling books and discover how to grow mentally stronger. 13 Things Mentally Strong People Don't Do has sold more than 1 million copies and been translated into more than 40 languages. My other books include 13 Things Mentally Strong Parents Don't Do, 13 Things Mentally Strong Women Don't Do, and 13 Things Strong Kids Do. And stay tuned. Book number 5 is coming to a bookstore near you in 2023.